The Old Testament reading for Easter Sunday is Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 6. As we begin to take a look at that, it's worth recognizing that there is a small psalmic sort of midline at the end of chapter 31, verse 1, that marks a paragraph, a setumah. And if we backtrack from there, we see that a previous paragraph marker, again a setumah, a psalmic, occurs at the end of chapter 30, verse 22. So there is actually a paragraph that consists of 30, verse 23, through 31, verse 1. And since we're going to use 31:1, it seems worthwhile to take a look at those preceding verses. So I'll read them. Hine sarat Yahweh, behold, or see, there is a storm of Yahweh. Chema yatsa'ah, heat or the rage, the product of the storm goes out. Sa'ar mitgorer, a whirling storm, a tempest. Al rosh rishaim yahul. Yahul, the verb, the storm rages, swirls, whirls upon the head of the wicked. Verse 24, Lo yashuv charon af Yahweh. Woodenly, the burning of the nose of Yahweh, the wrath, the anger of Yahweh will not turn back. Ad asotho v'ad hachimo. Mizimot libo. The anger will not turn back until it has done, and until it has established Hifil of Kum, cause to stand, has established the purposes or counsels of his heart. And the final phrase, Bacharit Hayamim Tith Bonanu Ba. In the afterwards of days, or in the latter days, you all, second person, masculine plural of being, hith polal, which suggests some iteration, so it's not just sort of understanding, but there's also an element of contemplation, continuing to think about. In the afterwards of days, in the latter days, you will think about this and understand it. Now, the closing verse of that paragraph in the first verse of the Easter text, Ba'et Hahi Na'um Yahweh, at that time, says Yahweh, Ehyeh Lelohim Lakol Mishpachot Yisrael, I will be or become God for all the families or clans of Israel. Vehema Yehyu Li La'am. And they, notice the redundant independent personal pronoun, hema, they will be or become for me a people. So the storm of Yahweh that is announced in verse 23 actually becomes a vehicle for the reconciliation between God and his people that shows in 31:1. Now we have, I guess it could be a continuation of Yahweh's speech. In any event, it is introduced by a standard speech formula, Ko Omar Yahweh, thus says the Lord. Matza chen bamidbar am saride charev. The subject is the am saride charev. The people, the surviving of sword ones. So the people who survived the sword, and now we see that there's actually sort of a more militaristic sort of metaphor or image as opposed to the storm image of the preceding verses. The people who survive the sword find or will find grace or favor in the wilderness. So we also have an additional image, and one that is familiar in prophetic terms. The midbar, the wilderness or desert, evokes Exodus terminology or an Exodus motif. So the people, the survivors, find favor in the wilderness. Halok lahargi'o Yisrael. Halok, infinitive absolute. The apparatus suggests using it as a participle. The difficulty is that then it's how do you identify the people who are going. The use of halak here in conjunction with infinitive construct hargi'o is hendiadys. So there is an element of this going in order to either put at rest, that would be the usual transitive meaning for the hifil of raga, or if it's intransitive, then it is going in order to rest. To take up a position or a standing as being at rest. The referent of the third singular masculine pronominal suffix there would be Yisrael. I had toyed with the possibility that Israel was an object of an activity of Yahweh, and yet that I think actually would require the direct object marker et with Yisrael. So it's the typical pattern for temporal clause. The people, the survivors, find favor when or during the time that they are going about in order to accomplish, to seek rest. Verse 3, Me'rachoch Yahweh Nir'ah Li. Me'rachoch, from a distance or at a distance, is it at a distance from Yahweh? Many of the versions have Yahweh appeared to him, making the change from Li to Lo. But if we keep the Li and recognize that Yahweh is speaking, and the Lord will refer to himself by his own name in third person language, it could be something on the order of while they are still at a distance from Yahweh, it or he, the people, appeared to me, which is Yahweh speaking. And that little clause evokes the picture indicated in the story of the prodigal son, that while the son was still afar off, the father ran out to meet him. So there are two perspectives involved. One is that the survivors find favor or grace in the wilderness while they've been wandering about. But a big part of it is that Yahweh, God, sees them while they are still far off, and he is the active agent in securing reconciliation with them. Continuing, v'ahvat olam ahavtik, a love, an eternal love, or with an eternal love, I have loved you. Still Yahweh speaking. And here we have an instance of the ahavtik, first kal perfect, first singular common verb ahavti, plus the second singular feminine pronominal suffix or object suffix, and that will persist in this verse, and we'll find out why the feminine form is used in just a little bit. Al kain meshachtik chasid. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I, mashak is to lead, even to drag, depending on the context, will create that particular picture. Here it is perhaps more the matter of leading, seems more attractive. I led you or have led you with chesed, with loyalty or devotion. So the thing is that when the people are distant from Yahweh, separated from Him because of their sin and apostasy and so forth, it is God who continues to carry them along because of His great love for them and eternal love. In verse 4 and in verse 5, we get a series of lines, each of which is introduced by the adverb oath, for yet, or still, or again. And in the context of the at that time-ness of 31:1, a translation with again might be most appropriate. So again, evnek vanivnet Betulah Yisrael. Again, I will build you, second singular feminine object suffix, vanivnet, nifal perfect, second singular feminine, neith or naith versus neitha, which would have been masculine, and you will be built, daughter of Israel, Betulat Yisrael. Next line, od teid e tupayek. Again, you will adorn, you will put on tambourines or cymbals, tupayek, your, and it's your instruments. So a daughter sort of dressing with the things that a young woman would wear as a way to make music in the course of dancing. And in fact, that's what the closing line, you will go out by Yatzat Bimchol Meshachtim. You will go out with dance or dancing of laughing ones. So there is a celebration involved. You can picture a young girl of Mideastern background dancing in this way. I think also it probably is worthwhile to recall David dancing behind the Ark of the Covenant as he was bringing that back. That the presence of Yahweh, and His work for His people, the redemption of His people, is something that brings about great joy. Verse 5, Od tit'i karamim b'hare shomron. Again, you will plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. Nat'u not'im v'chilelu. Planters, notaim, will plant, natu, or have planted, and hilel, we ordinarily read that in terms of profaning something, of rendering it corrupt, and you can see that the apparatus actually wants to repoint it, or in place of a chet, put a hey, so that it becomes halelu. They will praise or rejoice. But this evokes the promises that God makes in Deuteronomy that the people will inhabit the land and use the fruit of the vineyards they plant. So here it is, planters plant, and they enjoy or use sort of plainly or almost routinely the product of the vineyard. Verse 6, Ki yesh yom kor'u notzerim bahar Ephraim. For there exists, yesh, the particle of existence, there is a day, not yet known, but that it exists is emphasized. There is a day, koru, infinitive, call infinitive construct of kara plus third plural masculine suffix, when watchmen will call on the mountain of Ephraim, or in the hill country of Ephraim, kumu, Anatle Tzion, El Yahweh Eloheinu. Arise, a call, an imperative to everyone, and let us, cohortative plural, let us go up to Zion to Yahweh our God. And thus far the text. I think that it is important to recall to use the material at the end of chapter 30 as background, because the use of this text on Easter, the celebration of Easter, the rejoicing, the promise of life and life everlasting, the reconciliation between God and his people, comes in the aftermath of a storm. The earthquake and the darkness and other phenomena of Good Friday at the crucifixion of our Savior are the prelude to the events of Easter and the discernment or understanding from chapter 30, verse 24, that ensue or are promised as something that will happen in the latter days are brought about through the announcement and of Jesus' resurrection and of his then explaining all of the things that have testified about him in the scripture. Here, the particularities of Jesus are not as clearly enunciated. It's much more the sort of the empirical matter of what happens to us, what happens to people who have been distanced from God, and how we are brought near through the storm that God sends, but then the aftermath of the storm with reconciliation and rejoicing because of God's eternal love.